You are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Then you received one talent, came and said, Lord, I knew that you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, yeah, you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, listen and suck it up. Because that's what Jesus said. Faithful men, God will reward them continuously and increase them continuously. I loved what Bishop D.D. Jake said. I watched him the other day. He was preaching on God wanting to bless people. And obviously when God blesses people, people get mad, and he ended his sermon by saying, let the haters hate, but let it not stop those who believe God. Come on, that God is a God of blessing, God is a God of increase, that the best of your life is ahead of you. Oh, come on, those tweeters and those bloggers, let them hate. They will stand before Jesus one day. You keep running, you keep believing, you keep increasing, you keep multiplying, because my Bible says that if you are faithful, God will give you more. Faithful with one, God's going to give you more. And if you're faithful with that, God's going to give you more. God's going to increase you. That is the Bible, not CRC, the Bible. And the one who never used what God gave him will lose even what he had. And he'll become more sour because he's not a faithful man. There's a reward of faithfulness. The Bible is very clear. Luke chapter 16, verse 10, the Bible says, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is faithful in what is least is. Fact. Statement. Faithful in the least, you will be faithful. Faithful with little, you will be faithful with much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you that which is your own? A hard one for many people to swallow, because they want to have a degree, have a vision, and walk from university into the boardroom, be a director, and get a six-figure salary and a fancy car to start with. And it's not even in the Bible. The only place you start at the top is when you dig graves and you sink oil wells. Everybody else has to serve. You have to go through your apprenticeship. And if you're half smart, you will go after being a student and you will go learn from the best. Even if the pay is not great, you will learn whatever you can learn. You will understand there is a season where you have to learn whatever you can learn with a servant attitude. Even if you volunteer your time, you volunteer. But you cannot sit there on the sideline with a demanding attitude and think life will reward you. Because I meet too many people with that attitude that take no job throughout their 20s because everything is beneath them. They think now, well, I'm born again. I'm a yuppie. I'm better than that. That's beneath me. That's below me. Hey, let me wake you up tonight. In my journey, I learned nothing is beneath me. Not even cleaning the toilet was beneath me. Cleaning up people's vomit in the church was not beneath me. Sweeping the pavement was not beneath me. I learned to first be a servant in the house of God. For years and years, I was the catcher in the church. The only catcher. I was the sweeper of the broom with a broom in the church. The only one. I was the one to clean up the mess when people got delivered and people puked. That was the person that I was. I was the servant in the house of God. I never looked for the pulpit, but I never realized that God was testing me. Because when you serve with an ulterior motive, you will delay your journey. I hope you get what I'm saying you tonight, because you cannot manipulate the principles of God. You can only be faithful. You cannot have an ulterior motive, because God watches the motive of the heart. Well, I'm serving to get, you will not get. I'm serving to get my own, you will not get your own. You have to serve to serve. You can never deal with God. If I do this, God, you must do that. God says who? You serve. You use the opportunity I gave you. Your dad paying your university tuition fees. Now every Friday night you go, party, party. You fail four subjects in your first year, but your daddy's paying the bills. That's not being very faithful. Ouch. Your mother's got two jobs to put you through university. I spoke to a lady the other day. She works as a domestic in one of their houses. Her daughter, one of the most beautiful girls I saw, studying medicine. Her mother is doing everything in her life to pay for her daughter to be a doctor one day, because she never had the opportunity to be a doctor because of apartheid. She never had the opportunity, but now she has. She does everything she can so that her daughter can have a better future. And I said to that girl, I said, you better appreciate what mama's doing for you. She said, I do, Pastor. I said, well, you better get distinctions. You better get distinctions. You better be one of the best doctors. And once you become that doctor, you build your mama the best house. Before you build your own house, you build your mama the biggest house and the best house. You buy your mama a brand new car. Come on. You go back to your mama and you thank your mother in the name of Jesus Christ, and not live with an entitlement attitude, because you grew up in a home where there's a lot of wealth and a lot of money. You just own, everything just belongs to you. No! You have to learn to serve. I see so many pastors make this mistake, where the kids, where they just put their children on the platform. I mean, just throw their kids on the platform, because it's the pastor's children. I taught my children, yes, you are my children, but you have to serve your way. You have to be recognized for the gift that you have. Though you're my children, you're not just going to get onto the platform and you've not served. You don't get into the boardroom with first serving, you'll destroy your father's company. Because there's certain things you learn in the palace or in the prison that you will never learn in the palace. Because in the palace, everybody bows before you. And if you've not learned to serve, you never value the volunteers of those who serve. First building we ever built, I was the bricklayer. Let me tell you. Now we employ contractors to build our buildings. First building we ever built in Lady Brain, 300-seater thatch. I went to the Riverside Lodge, down by the river, to Riverside Lodge with a three-ton truck that only rode 15 kilometers an hour, with my own spade and one other person, to save the church money, because we had no money. And we went into the riverbank and dug out the sand and filled that truck and then rode all the way back to Lady Brand. Did that. Then they taught me how to mix dagger. Taught me how to lay bricks. How to mix cement. Now I walk and I'll walk in a place and people say, how can you see that? I walk in a place and I can see, that's wrong. How do I see this? How do I see the pips are not right? The joints are not right? Because that's where I started. When you start in the boardroom, you don't see what matters. So things can collapse around you. But when you build something from the bottom up, you always see everything. Everything. There's no shortcut. And I showed you last week, if you find a shortcut, you better watch out, because he hastens to riches will be put to shame, the Bible says. There's no shortcut. There's God's way. And God's way is to build character. And part of character building is counted all joy when you go through diverse tests, trials, and tribulations. That's not sickness and disease. That's you not getting your own way. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. That is the cross of Christ, where your own little will has to bow to somebody else, where you have to serve when you don't want to serve, where you have to go the extra mile and you don't want to go the extra mile. You have to make hamburgers, hot dogs, crumpets, waffles for a year like this man, and you hate doing it, but you choose to do it with a good attitude. You think about quitting every day of your life, but you never quit because there's something on the inside of you, the grace of God, that keeps you going, that keeps you motivated, that keeps your focus on the palace, come on, where you begin to realize that my worth is not defined by what I do or by what I don't do. My worth is defined by Jesus Christ. I'm a new creature in Christ. Whether I'm a shepherd boy, I'm a king, I'm a priest, I'm royalty, I'm on my way to the palace. It's a matter of time. Come on, God will have the final say in my life. Shout amen tonight in this place and give the Lord a praise there in Victoria as well. Hallelujah. Said with a long, a lot of young people, they're just too important. Everything is below them. You sit with them and they give you the answers. You've got 2 ears and one mouth. Learn to listen. First, prove your theory. I've heard everything. People tell me this is a better way. I say, okay, I believe you get the Holy Ghost. But now go prove it in your church for 5 years. What do you mean, Pastor? I've said 5 years. Because we've been winning souls effectively now for 22 years. We don't have a theory. We have a revival. We have a revelation. We have momentum. So if you have something better, prove that it's better. And if it's better, I'll adopt it. But, I mean, anybody can stand up with a rugby coach and say, but I've got a better game plan. Okay? Where have you proven your game plan? Have you taken the game plan to the kindergarten? No, we want to test it with the Springboks. No. Have you proven your game plan? Have you proven your theory? Once you've proven it over a period of time and proven that it's sustainable, somebody will listen to you. But everybody walks with a scheme. And then they walk the people with money and they want to sell this scheme to the people, and then they disillusion because people don't buy this scheme and they wonder why. Because people that have made things realize that it's not just so easy. Sometimes God does something supernaturally. People get an idea, Facebook, guy gets a genius idea. But that's the exception. In the Bible, Paul, 14-year journey. Joseph, 17-year journey. Abraham, 25-year journey. Jesus Christ, 30-year journey. Or from 12, when he knows he's the Son of God, he debates with the scribes and the Pharisees. 30, he preaches his first sermon. 18 years in preparation. Jesus Christ, your Lord and Messiah. And we just want to go and blow up. Because I'm cool. I watch MTV too much. I watch the cool guys on television too much. So I think if I'm cool, DJ cool, whatever you are, I'm cool, you know, I'm cool. I walk a certain way. I talk a certain way. I'm cool, you know, I'm cool. Cool ain't gonna do it, Jack. You better need more than just an unction. You need to function. Year after year, you climb Mount Everest, you don't start at base camp, and the next day you're at the top. Everybody wants the top. I mean, if you had everything today, you'd have no need to be alive anymore. Because you'd have no purpose. So be patient in the journey. Be faithful with what you have where you are. Be faithful. Learn to be faithful when you're 16, 17, 18, 20, 23. Even if you feel nothing is happening, God is watching. Joseph had this amazing dream. He's 17. He gets to the palace when he's 33 years, 16 years later. He goes through the pit. His brothers want to kill him, betray him. His brothers sell him into slavery. He goes through the pit. He goes through Potiphar's house where he is lied about, where he is morally defamed, and he goes into prison where he's forgotten. Every time he has to start at the bottom. But Joseph is faithful wherever he finds himself. You be faithful wherever you find yourself. You do your best wherever you are with whatever you have. Shout a big amen in the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Because God promotes faithfulness. Say faithfulness in Jesus' name. Come on. So Jesus makes it clear, we are called to be faithful in the little things, faithful in the small things, faithful in what is another man's, and faithful with the least. Faithful in the small things, number one, the little insignificant moments that present themselves in our lives. Time, trust people put in us, little opportunities, a temp job, a fleeting moment, making crumpets, hot dogs, getting a broom in church, being part of the music ministry, but being in the background, being cameraman number three, seeing that people are messing up on the camera, you can do it better, but waiting for your time, and when your time comes, you shine, say amen. Amen. So Jesus made it clear that he came to serve. I mean, his disciples were struggling because they thought this Christianity was all about rulership. Matthew chapter 20, verse 20, the Bible says, the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom. Now, many mothers are like that. They want the best for their boys. That's fine. But they never got it. That the way up is down. The way to rulership is to be a servant. Because he that wants to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant. First a servant before you can be a master, verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. And Jesus called them to himself and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. So the way up is to serve. Say amen.
Amen.
Matthew 23 verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled. So if you promote yourself, you will be humbled. You can go buy your microphone and you can go and you can advertise and maybe nobody shows up, because if God does not endorse it, it's not going to work. You can start a company without God's blessing. It will not work if it's not the right time. God makes everything beautiful in His time. Say amen. Number two, so we're faithful in little things. Number two, we are faithful in what is another man's. Faithful in what is another man's. My father, my earthly father, taught me to look after things better, people's things better than my own things. You respect people's things. You work for a company, you respect the stationery. You don't chew the pen. Amen. You don't drink your coffee over a keyboard and you destroy the keyboard. Little things that matter. You don't phone your friends on company time. Little things. You don't steal time from the company. Little things that matter. Think about Joseph. Genesis 30, I love this. Chapter 39 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So, you work for a company and people should say, wow, everything this man touches is blessed. And that causes you to get more responsibility. Not everything you touch dies. Amen. Because God promises in Deuteronomy chapter 28, whatever your hand touches will be blessed. So, when we touch things and they die, there's a problem. We have to check ourselves. Because God lives in us. When we touch things, they should live. When we touch a home cell, when we touch a youth ministry, when we touch our business, when we are entrusted with a department, when we are entrusted with a job, whatever we do should flourish. I mean, that's the Bible. So people see, wow, there's something about this person. Like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they were 10 times wiser, 10 times smarter than anything Nebuchadnezzar had. Righteous people that spent time in the Word of God. Because David said, through your precept, you've made me wiser than my teachers. Through your precept, through your Word. I love your Word. Because through your Word, you've made me wiser. The Word of God can reshape your mind. The Word of God will reshape your thinking, will reshape your aptitude, your attitude, so that you stand out among the crowd. That's what the Word of God will do. Not you, one of the people that just look the same, think the same. No, you are the one that will stand out in the business because you're a servant of God. You have the unfair advantage, the favor of God, the grace of God. Whatever you touch should be blessed. How will the blessing of God manifest? Through you being faithful where you are with what God gave you. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had was put under his authority. So it was from that time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. The business was blessed because of Joseph. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Wow. What character. A young man that had a huge dream that finds himself sold into slavery, sold as a slave in Potiphar's house, and the Lord is with him. The grace of God is with him in an unfavorable place. He has the favor of God, and he learns to serve faithfully where God places him. And whatever he touches is blessed, and the master promotes him. Because you will always be promoted where you are. You will always go higher where you are. You will always be the head wherever you are. Even in an unfavorable place, the favor of God will lift you up and take you higher. Come on, say amen. That is the blessing of God every day of your life. Favor is not something you have to wait for. Favor is something you have already. You've received it already. So, I mean, Potiphar didn't have the slogan. Delegation without investigation is an abomination. People don't do what you expect, only what you inspect. Slogans that we have in companies because people are so unfaithful. He did not have to look into anything that Joseph did. Joseph did not pilfer. He didn't steal money out of the till. Didn't steal money off the top. He didn't skim. He didn't do things for bribes. The master wouldn't even have known. He could have had his own little cash business going on the side, but he never had. He was a faithful man. He was a man of integrity. And God was watching, and God was promoting him. And his time came, not the way he thought. He had a setback when he was faithful. Sometimes you are faithful, you have a setback, and you wonder where God is. God is in control. God is in charge. He has a setback, and he goes to the prison, but it's exactly the plan of God. Psalm 105, the Bible says, the Lord sent him. That was God's journey for him. Not his journey, God's journey. People lied about him. People lie about you at work. Things go wrong in your work. You're faithful. It's not time to give up, not time to quit. It's time to believe in the favor of God, that good things will happen, that your break will come in the name of Jesus. And there Joseph finds himself in the prison in what is another man's, and he serves again. And he has this great revelation of the vision, and the baker forgets him. And the Bible says, until the time of the Lord came. Eventually, Joseph comes to the palace in Genesis chapter 50. His brothers bow before him, the very ones who sold him into slavery, fearing for their lives. Joseph now stands before them and covers himself. He says, do not fear. I'm in the place of God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Joseph never lost himself in the journey. Joseph never lost himself. He never stopped being faithful. And that's my word to you tonight. Never lose yourself. No matter what people do, your boss may be unfaithful. People may make promises and they don't keep it. He will keep his promise. He is faithful and true. You be faithful like God. Come on, wherever you are. People may deny something today, but they cannot delay it inevitably. In the right time, the right opportunity will come. The right door will open. I prophesied over you. The favor of God will go before you. The favor of God will bring you out of the prison. Come on. The favor of God will lift you up. The favor of God will take you to the place of prominence that God has predestined for you. You don't have to even look for that. God's hand is upon you already. You be a generation that is faithful. You be a generation that is different. Faithful in your relationships. Faithful towards your church. Faithful towards your vision. Faithful towards your spouse. Live as Jesus lived. Faithful and true. Amen. Faithful in what is another man's. Hallelujah. God loves you so much. Don't hijack your life. Don't derail what God has planned for you. Rest in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. The Bible says God works in you both to will and do his good pleasure. My journey, people talk about hindsight, started in the ministry. I thank God the quit is out of me, as I said last week. Why many times I thought about quitting? Many times. Many times. I see people today. I love them dearly. But I can see in their eyes. They're under the weather. They have a battle and they're still thinking about quitting. Life is not good. Life is not fair. Amen. Life is not fair. Get over it. But God is fair. God is good. And you may be the right person to get the job. Somebody else gets it. Your time will come. You'll get the better job. Just you keep a good attitude. Don't go side with the haters and side with the naysayers. And don't go sit on the sideline and become one of the cynical people that watches the game of life. No. You stay in the game of life. You stay true to yourself. You stay reliable. You stay dependable. You stay trustworthy. Because that's who you are. That's who God made you to be. You cannot deny yourself. You are a child of God. You are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. He who started a good work in you will finish the work that he started. Come on, be confident of this one thing. That the very God who started the work in your life will continue and complete the work in your life. That God will have the final say in your life. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are the Christ. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. Tonight I open my heart and I accept you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for washing me tonight with your precious blood. Thank you that my past is forgiven. Thank you for a new life and a new beginning. I surrender all to you tonight. Thank you that you love me and you accept me just as I am. Jesus Christ, you are now my Lord and King forever and ever. I will follow you from today forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.